How easy is that? Anybody here need an easier life? Yeah. Okay, all the hands go up. Wow. Okay, beautiful. Aren't you glad you're going to hear this message today? Life can be what? Hard from time to time? Yes? Some things can be impossible. I heard from the front row right over here. However, all things are possible with God, right? So how easy is it? How easy is it to go through life when we surrender ourselves to God? When we let God do what we can't? What if you did? Yeah, okay. What if you did that going forward? From this moment forward, you let God be God and let God do what God does, which is the impossible, right? You need change, you need growth, you need something in your life to be moved and arranged, and you need a miracle? Do you? Okay. Ask God, and surrender to God. Now, how hard is it to surrender to God? Is that the hard part? The surrendering part? Okay, we're going to see. I want to promise you this, that if you will surrender to God and just, you know, just take all your cares, all your concerns, everything that you think that you can't do or that won't change, give it to God. Just say, here, God, fix this. Here, God, this person, fix them. Here, God, this person, fix me, right? Fix it, right? God can do what we can't. You know that and believe that this morning. So stop trying to do it yourself. This is not a do-it-yourself project. There are certain things that God's going to call upon you to do, and then there's going to be miraculous, awesome things that God's going to call on you to do, and how are you going to do those? Because God's going to do it in you, right? Right? All right. Let's go to the book of Matthew this morning. You probably heard this story a few times, but it bears repeating. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to begin at verse 22. In the preceding part of chapter 14, there's the feeding of the 5,000. You know that miracle, right? Because there were 5,000 people that were hungry, and there wasn't any food. And Jesus said, what do you have? And they were like, we only have this and this, 5 fish and 2 loaves. Not nearly enough. It's impossible to feed all these people. And what happens? Oh, they fed them, and there were 12 baskets left over. So how easy was that? How easy. Isn't it good to know that even though we tell God it's impossible, that God steps in anyway? When God wants something done, it's going to happen. It with or without you. And sometimes in spite of us, right? God is God. And when God sees a need, God fills the need. Just know that. So there was the feeding of the 5,000. Awesome. And so the disciples, it says, immediately after this, after the feeding, Jesus made his disciples go get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So he had a nice little goodbye with them. He tells the disciples, head off, boys. I'll catch up with you later. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. So you see what even Jesus knew enough to go back to the hills, be alone with God. He had done a miraculous thing, feeding 5,000. Where does he go after that to get replenished? Back into the Spirit of God, right? So we always go back to God for what we need, for the next awesome thing that's going to happen. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So guess what happened to the disciples on this trip to the other side of the lake? They run into a little bit of trouble, don't they? Wind and waves, and they're fighting it. They've got a battle going on, right? They can't make it to the other side of the lake, can they? Not at all. About 3 o'clock in the morning, this is much later, obviously, than when the disciples took off. So there's a time lapse, about 8 hours, by the way. So for 8 hours, while Jesus was over there praying, the disciples are in trouble. You ever been in trouble for about 8 hours? 8 years, 80 years, it seems like, right? Sometimes when we have things going on, it seems like that's our whole focus zeroes in on that. Are you an obsessive warrior, maybe? You got this problem and you obsess and obsess and obsess upon it. Anybody do that besides me? You know, you kind of look at it and that's all your focus is on, right? Right? You're battling it. You're going to figure it out. You're going to fight it. You're going to find your way out. You're going to read this. You're going to research that. You're going to talk to this person. You got to do that, right? Boom, boom, boom. And for hours on end, nothing changes. You're just fighting the same battle. It gives you some exercise, I granted. And emotional distraught. And you do a lot of jumping to conclusions, right? There's some exercise in that sometimes, the negative conclusions. That's it. That's the end of me. I'm going to drown here, right, while you're in the middle of that storm. You ever feel like that, anybody? Yeah. So we could all relate, can't we? Jesus is out of the picture, right? He's nowhere to be found. And they're fighting the battle. Or so you think. So you think. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. Because obviously he didn't have a boat. He comes walking on the water. Now that's physically impossible. Did you know that? It's not possible to walk on water. Water is liquid. And because of gravity, when you walk on water, unless it's frozen, granted, you can walk on ice, but water in and of itself, it's an impossibility for anybody to walk on water, isn't it? Totally, totally impossible. But he's doing it anyway. He's walking above it. See, Jesus is what we call supernatural or meta, meaning above. He's not natural. He's above natural. He is supernatural. He is holy. He is of God, right? He had just been up on the mountains with God. So he's so filled up with God's power who created the water, he could walk above it, couldn't he? You know, in the book of Genesis, when it said God hovered over the water, his spirit hovered over it. So Jesus was a water hoverer. Right? His spirit is above it, right? See, we get stuck where? In the natural, don't we? We look at the physical. We look at what's in front of us. We look at the facts. This can't be done. It's impossible. Scientists would definitely concur. You cannot walk on water. So why bother trying? Jesus walks on the water. See, God proves that he can do the impossible, even for all of us. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Of course, right? Can't be. They're looking with their own eyes at something impossible, and they're saying, this can't be happening. This can't be true. This must be a ghost. And so they get freaked out, right? But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right. He said, I am here. Don't be afraid. It's not a ghost. It's me. You know, sometimes when God speaks to you, if you're sitting by yourself sometime, and I've known people that have been here in the church by themselves, coming here just when the door, you know, they needed to be here, and they sat here, and suddenly they felt God talk to them. They were considering some things, thinking about things, wondering about things. And suddenly, they know God's speaking. And then, boom, they're okay. And out the door they go. That's God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here, right? We know that. So Jesus is always trying to tell us, even though you're in a storm, he is here. And for us to do what? Don't be afraid. What happens when we're in a storm? We're afraid. It's just the exact opposite. If you are alone in a storm, yes, you should be afraid. But if you know God is on your side and God is with you and God will never leave you or forsake you, do you need to be afraid when the storm comes? That's our rational mind, right? We understand that. That's our logic. What happens when a storm comes? Our emotion kicks in. And we become what? Afraid. And Jesus has to come and say, don't be afraid, settle down. Everything, I've got everything under control. All is well. All is well. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. What's Peter doing? No, he's not doubting. He's saying, if you can do it, and I know it's really you because I know who you really are. You're the Son of God and you're supernatural. If you can do it, I want to try it too. That's a great way to live, isn't it? If you know that God can do the impossible, wouldn't it be great if you could do the impossible too? Right? How easy would it be to simply step out of the boat, believing and trusting that if Jesus has called you out of the boat, or you decide you think you want to do something impossible for once, can you step out of the boat? I'm going to sink. There were 12 disciples in the boat. One of them said, if you can do it, I want to try it too. See, I want to be the kind of Christian that says, if God can do it and God can use me to show supernatural awesome things, like maybe changing me to be someone different than what I used to be, that seemed impossible at one given time. Maybe still seems impossible to some of you, but I am really changing on from daily basis that God is working through me. But when God wants us to do the impossible, what if we stepped out on faith and said, if you are doing it, I believe I can do it too. Wouldn't that be like a cool way to live? Like, how easy would it be versus what we believe it is? See, what we believe to be true for us is true, isn't it? If we believe that something's hard, it makes it hard. If you believe something isn't going to work, it won't. But if you believe that God is calling you to something greater and higher and that God is going to empower you, could you possibly do something other than what you think you can only do in this little finite way? Would you be willing to step out of the boat and see if God really could use you and do something miraculous in you and through you? Or do you want to just sit in the boat and watch somebody else do it? All right, come, Jesus said. Jesus didn't say to Peter, now Peter, listen, I'm Jesus, you're not. I'm the Son of God, you're the Son of Man. Only I can do the impossible. Peter, stay in the boat with the rest of your guys. You'll do things later on my behalf. What does Jesus say to Peter? Because Peter wanted to, one, believe that it was really Jesus. Like, is this you, God, telling me to do something miraculous? Right? The impossible? Are you telling me to do that? Now, I'm not trying to tell you, any one of us, to do something foolish without God. Right? Of ourselves, we can do nothing. With God, we can do everything and anything. Right? And if we say, hey, God, I'd really like to try this. I'd really like to try changing. I'd really like to become a nice person. I'd really like to serve God, you, in so many greater ways than I already am. I would love new gifts, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, things that I'm not good at. I would love you to help me make me good at those things. If I've never forgiven others before, give me the spiritual gift of forgiveness, Lord. Right? Does that sound impossible? How hard would it be? Very hard by yourself, wouldn't it? But if you said to Christ, I want to be like you, what is he going to say? No, not you. John, will you come out of the boat for me, please? Thomas, I don't doubt it. You can probably do this. Who's the one that said I wanted to walk on water? Peter, right? What did Jesus say? Beautiful baby, come on! See, God is excited every time you dream bigger and think bigger than yourself. Every time you think about what God is really about and how magnificent and powerful God is, that God can do anything. When you have that belief that no matter what it looks like right here, right now, God can do whatever God wants to do. Right? And can make miraculous things happen all the time. Even if it's simply bumping into a homeless person that needs a backpack that just happened to be packed 2 weeks ago and is in somebody's car. Is that not a miracle? Of course it was. Miracles happen every day. We just don't always call them that. But that's God at work, right? Why? Because somebody was willing to believe, if I put this backpack in my trunk or my back seat, I'm going to find a homeless person. I'm open to it. And they're not afraid of whether or not that person may or may not want it. They're going to say, here, right? Peter said, I want to try walking on water. What is it you haven't tried yet that you think is impossible? Everybody's different here. Some of us are going to be water walkers. Some of us are going to not be that. There might be some other gift that we're going to be used for God for. But don't limit yourself as to what you think you're capable of doing. Because if it's only up to you, you can do nothing. Right? But with God, everything and anything is possible. So he says, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Period. He went over the side of the boat and walked on water. Woo-wee, I'm doing it just like Jesus is doing it. And Jesus is right there, right, so close to him, right, watching him going, way to go. Come on, Peter, just a little farther. Come on, Peter, you can do it, you can do it. And then what does Peter do? Oh, you know the next verse? See, I wish the Bible ended at this last verse. Because too often many of us step out in faith and we stop. And we look at the circumstances, right? Because that's exactly what Peter does next, right? We watch it says, but when he looked around at the high waves, the waves were still there, weren't they? When he looked around at the waves, when he looked at the wind, he took his eyes off Jesus, right? What happens to him? How hard did it become? Enormously hard. Why? What did he take his eyes off of? Jesus, right? The power that was cheering him on. Listen, when anything you're doing in your life, if you're wanting to change whatever it might be, and you maybe have had a habit or a situation or a circumstance or whatever you want to call it in your life that hasn't changed yet, or you're dreaming of something big, or we're trying to move this church forward in whatever direction God wants it to go, right? And we only sit and look about what we've been and what we are, and we say, well, we can't do it. Well, that's a good thing to say, because we can't. But with God, all things are possible. We don't look at the wind and the waves. We don't look at the impossibilities. We don't look at the checkbook. We don't look at all the problems that could happen. We don't what if ourselves down. We what if ourselves up. What if God stepped in? How was Peter able to walk on water? Because he wanted to, and Jesus gave him the power to do so. He said, come, let's go. Let's do this together, brother. And then as soon as Peter sank, what does Jesus do? He walks right on past him, lets him blah, 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 blah. Peter, you are doing so good. We can't stop short of victory. When you start to do something, fear is going to come. I understand that. Reality is going to hit you in the face, and you're going to look at facts and figures sometimes in your life. You're going to look at things and say, I don't know how we're going to pull this off. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to change. It's okay, right? Because what happens? How easy is it when Jesus steps in? It's very easy, is it not, right? Jesus reaches his hand up, pulls Peter up out of the water, and guess what? Throws him back in the boat. Isn't it cool that he didn't make Peter have to climb back in the boat by himself? Do you see how God is? He says to him, where did your faith go? Right? Suddenly, you know, you looked at the wrong thing. Keep your eye and belief and faith and trust in God. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're facing, put your focus on God and what God can do, not what you and I can do. Because of ourselves, we can do nothing, but with God, we can do anything. Without God, it's hard. With God, it's easy peasy. Yes. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, he said. Why did you doubt me? Why do we doubt God? It's one thing to doubt ourselves, right? But doubting God, what God can do? We all need a faith injection sometimes, don't we? Especially when things look impossible. That's when we need our faith the most. That's when we need our belief and trust in God the most. And never to doubt. Help me not to doubt God. Take away our doubts. Take away our fears. Help us put our faith and trust in you. That's a prayer we always have to pray. And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Lesson to be learned. The disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they said. Wow, you, wow. Really? I love that. Every time we see God manifest himself in our lives or in the life of this church, we go, wow. It's amazing, right, what God does. When we know and believe and trust and have faith that God can do anything, it becomes easy, isn't it? Yes? Let's turn to the book of John. We're going to go back to another water story, only different. John chapter 21. They're connected. I see connections all the time in Scripture because it's the same. Pretty much, if you read the Gospels or even the Old Testament, when you see what the prophets did and people of God, and you go into the New Testament, you see how God steps in all the time and touches people's lives and changes things and transforms things and performs miracles. It helps your faith grow, doesn't it? John chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is after his resurrection. John 21, first verse. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So there's some people there. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. You ever have that situation in your life? This is the third time they've seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. They go fishing. And they're doing the thing that they normally do, fish, and they caught nothing. You ever go through life catching nothing? Chasing things. That, yeah, even things one would think fishermen could catch fish, but needless to say. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, friends, have you caught any fish without me? Oh, he didn't say that. Have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, well, throw out the net on the right side of the boat and you'll get plenty of fish. So what do? So they did. How cool is that? Listen, when you're trying to make a decision in your life or you're trying to come to something in your life that seems impossible, whatever God tells you to do, just do it. When you're doing it by yourself, how easy is it? Not easy at all. And you might be even something you think you know how to do, right? You've done it before. You know what you're doing. Okay, I can do it by myself now. And you're not doing so well. But do you notice how Jesus shows up? God is always going to show up in all of our lives to say to us, hey, try this instead. Throw the net on the right side of the boat. So they did. Do whatever God guides you to do, even if it sounds a little like, I already tried this about 22 times, Jesus. Okay, but whatever. Or 23, maybe. Okay. So they did, and they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. Is God the God of plenty? Is God the God of more than enough? When you don't have enough, where's enough come from? God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what we need, God will provide. You just have to have enough faith to throw the net where he tells you to throw it and do what he ever tells you to do. And not only that, he stepped in, didn't he? He came in to give guidance and direction. Just do this one little thing for me. Throw the net on the right side of the boat. And guess what? They got so many fish, they had to have everybody carry it back to the shore. You see what God gives us? He doesn't give us one fish. He gives us a whole net full of fish. That's how God operates, more than enough, surplus. There's a surplus of everything we could ever need in God's kingdom, is there not? There's more than enough people, there's more than enough money, there's more than enough ideas, there's more than enough everything and anything. There's more than enough miracles to go around. God's not up in heaven going, well, I got 72 miracles left, and let's see, what two people am I going to dole those out to today? No threats, I'm walking. more than enough. Can you have a miracle in your life? How easy is it? How easy is it? How easy? Easy peasy. Easy peasy. When you call on God and ask God, right? The things we cannot do, God will step in on our behalf, even when you're not even asking sometimes. He just shows up. I love that about God. If you've been into the fellowship hall today, you see those beautiful flowers that are sitting on the tables, right? Where did they come from? Huh, poof, there they are. A gift to the church, right? We didn't have flowers yesterday. We got them today. See how God operates? Somebody said a couple weeks ago, wouldn't it be nice if we put some flowers on the tables? Just a thought. Boom. That's how God operates. In fact, there's two per table. It's not just one. So double, 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 double. More than enough. One for you to take home. I love God. He's amazing. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. He had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and swam ashore. Oh, he didn't walk on water this time. I wish he had. Wouldn't that have been a cool story? I like that story better. Jumps off the boat and walks back to the water, up to Jesus. He swam to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled a loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 300 feet away from there. When they got there, they saw a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. Wow. They fished all night, caught nothing. They end up catching a whole big slew of fish, 153 to be exact. By the way, it just happens to be the number of species of fish in the area. One of every kind. That's representative of one of every kind of people as well. Remember he said way back in the book of Matthew, "Hey, Peter, come follow me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people." Where do people come from into this church? God sends them. Right? Every kind. But notice what's happened here. Jesus prepared the meal before they got there, right? All night long they had no fish, and they certainly didn't have any bread. But what does Jesus provide? A whole meal. Listen, life can be a lot easier when you let God serve you, because he really wants to. He calls you to the table all the time. He wants to provide for every one of your needs. He wants to just have everything ready for you. Exactly the way you need it. There's two sides of this. There's a side of God doing for us, with or without us asking. And there's also us asking over here on this side, saying, "I really need your help," or "I really want to do this impossible thing, God." And in either case, do you know what God does? Solves the problem. Brings the answer, brings the solution, and blesses all of us all the time. So if you know anything about me as your pastor, you know whenever there's a need in our church, you probably get tired of me saying it. Pray about it. Let's pray about that situation. If we need X, Y, Z, L, M, N, O, P, whatever it might be, if whatever change we're looking for, whatever direction we need, whatever kind of blessings we need, whatever kind of utilities we need to use in the physical sense, whatever kind of people we need to be here, whatever kind of gifts and talents all this church needs, right? We say, let's pray about it and ask God about it. How easy is that? It's like the easiest thing any one of us could ever do, isn't it? You need guidance? How do you get it? Lord, give me guidance. 100 million fold, please. Give me patience. No, I don't want patience. That means I get a trial. I'm going to wait 8 hours in the boat. No, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe while I'm in that boat. Jesus is on his way. I don't know, the answer hasn't come yet, but I know he's on the way. I don't know what your situation in life is, and I don't know what the solution is that you need, but Jesus is on the way. I don't know what the problem is you're facing or the crisis that you're in, but Jesus is on the way. What do you do while you're sitting in the boat? Pray. Stop fighting the waves. Don't get mad fighting the waves and try to do it yourself. Just calmly sit in the boat. Quit rocking the boat. I'm going to get seasick with you. Just say, wait a minute. Whoa. Okay, boys. Okay, girls. I know it's windy, and I know we're in tough shape. And I know there's problems. But you know what? Let's just stop and pray. Because Jesus is on the way. How easy is it to pray for the solutions that you need? Very easy. How easy is it for God to bless our lives? Easy. How easy is it for God to perform a miracle? Easy peasy, wheezy, deezy, yeah, baby. He can do anything. He can. And what do we do after the miracle happens? We give praise. Woo, God, you did it again. If you stick around here long enough, you're going to see miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And you know where you're going to see the greatest miracle? I hope and pray. In you. In us. Because that's what God cares about. God wants our faith and our trust in him to grow more than he cares about what we have that miracle happen to us. He just wants our faith and trust in him to grow and grow and grow so that one day whenever we need anything, we say, oh, God's on it. It's just a question of when it gets here. God's on it. He's got it. That's the kind of faith and trust I want us all to have together as a church family. Whatever we need, God will provide, and then some. How easy is it going to be for this church to continue to move forward? Easy. Because Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God's power is here. God's miraculous, awesome power. We can't wait to see it happen in all of our lives. And it'll happen. I love Jiffy Pop popcorn, for those of you that are old enough to remember. You remember it? You remember it? Yes? Right? That's what faith is all about, church. Right? You take it, you put it on the flame, and there you shake it. And 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 you look at it. And you shake it. And you shake it. And you look at it. And you shake it. And you shake it. And you keep it on the flame, don't you? You keep it on the fire. You keep it. And before you know it, oh, I'll get a whole thing of popcorn. Woo-hoo-hoo! Enough for everybody. That's what faith is like. Keep shaking it. Keep yourself in the fire on in prayer. Keep yourself in the church at a time of prayer. Surround yourself with other people that will help you move your Jiffy Pop popcorn around when your arm gets tired. And what pop, 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 pop. Your life is going to change for the better. I know it is. Hang in there. Just keep at it. Your life is going to just be blessed with so many things. And so is the life of this church. You'll see. And we that are here, and I've been here the longest, I'm just a Jiffy Pop pastor. I just stay here and keep on praying. Keep on praying. You got a problem? I'm praying. You got some situations? I'm praying. You got some problems in your life? I'm praying. You got a tragedy? I'm praying. You got some situation that seems impossible? I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. And pop, 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 pop. We watch what God does. Amen? So listen, church. I want you to become Jiffy Pop poppers with me. Have faith and trust that if you just keep on keeping on believing, you can do the impossible. We can do the impossible together. And God will continue to bless us. And you'll see lives transformed. Suddenly you pop out of that situation you were in. Suddenly the life comes back out of you. Suddenly joy comes back and pops out of you. And we give God the glory and the praise for that. So let us pray now together as a church. Loving God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you continue to show your awesome, wonderful power, that you continue, God, to help our faith to grow, that you continue to help each of us, God, turn to you more and more. And God, we ask you that you would continue to bless this church, to use each and every one of us who have so much faith and trust in you, Lord. We believe in so much of your impossibilities and miraculous power that we're going to step out of our boats. We're going to walk on water with you. We're going to keep our eyes on you, God. And we're going to be able to see your miraculous power transform us all. We ask a blessing upon everyone here this day, Lord. Give us the faith, God, that we need to have trust in you, Lord, to know you can do the impossible. You make it so easy, God, to live life. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the power that you put within us all so we can do what you can do, God. And we want to do even greater things because your Spirit's in us. In Jesus' name, amen.